Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimela Mudine. Okay, so the date arrived, the day has arrived, and we all got the budget. The budget was tabled, and the sky is still up there, and the sky is still standing. I'd really like to hear from you. I'm sure you've been listening to Google's show, Kaya Biz, bringing you lots of reactions, and I'm sure you also heard some reaction from economists and business. I'd really, really like to hear from you on the ground. 086-000-0959. We'll also get more reaction from political parties. You can send voice notes as well on 063-688-0959. I won't waste any more time. Let's go straight to the EFF and get their reaction. EFF MP Chumani Madwane is on the line with us. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to the listeners of Kaya FM.
As the EFF, you are very clear, you have no room to discuss VAT increase. We now have a 1% increase over 2 years. How do you feel about that?
Yes, ma'am. As the EFF, we firmly reject with contempt the budget that was tabled today by the Minister of Finance. We are calling for the EFF, for the Minister to tax the rich and not the poor. Because the cost of living over the past 3 years has been going up, and there is no reprieve for the ordinary people, that is the worker and the middle class.
So obviously we all know that this is going to be, it's a budget tabled, it's not final yet, it's still going to go to Parliament, there's still going to be a lot of voting. One knows that the DA, for instance, is not happy with this budget. The ANC has 39 to 40% in Parliament, they will need other partners. Are you open to discussions?
The EFF will not be party to any budget that is going to increase that. So we are not open to any deal that will see the ANC passing this anti-poor budget.
You've also spoken about the introduction of a wealth tax. If there was some way that you could compromise, where would you be compromising on to have that window of opportunity to discuss this with the ANC?
Currently, ma'am, I don't think there is a space for us to compromise.
Yeah.
If you look at the budget speech of the minister, mm-hmm. the SA fiscal policy is focused highly on the levels of profitability of multinational companies, that is putting profits before people. So we don't see them introducing a wealth tax, compromising in the sense that they would introduce a wealth tax when they failed to increase the corporate tax.
Mm. Ideally, what would the EFF would have liked to see? We know that you didn't want to have the VAT put on the table at all. You wanted an introduction of wealth tax. You've just spoken about the fact that you wanted an increase on corporate tax. What else would you have wanted to see?
We want to see them where there can be protections that can be afforded to state-owned enterprises, which carry a socio-economic mandate for a developmental state like South Africa. In the current budget, it is just a precursor for privatization, which is moving away from a people's mandate and focusing more on investor confidence or keeping businesses, big business happy.
Go ahead.
So even if you listen to the budget, the silence on the National Development Plan, meaning that the plan has collapsed. It's just 5 years to its target of 2030. So there is no vision there to recover or for any prospects that there will be any economic growth that can be achieved under the ANC government.
Any positives that that came through for you in this tabled budget?
Yes, ma'am. We welcome that there's been an increase on social grants. Mm-hmm. However, given that one person in South Africa or a worker in South Africa or someone who earns an income feeds 4 months, that means that even that interest in social grants will not have a significant dent in the household, as that will be consumed by the purchase of food. As you know, that 60% of the income of the average household in South Africa is spent on transport and on buying food.
So, as things stand, you will be voting against this budget?
Definitely. We will not be supporting any neoliberal budget.
EFF MP Chumani Maduane, thank you so much for your contribution and their reaction to this particular budget that was tabled today. Let's go straight to the DA spokesperson, Willie Oorkamp, on the line with us. So thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Nice to be with you guys again.
The leader of the DA was very clear after that budget tabling, saying that you're really unhappy with the increase of VAT. Is the door slightly open to continue discussions before you come back to Parliament?
Well, we made it clear today that we will keep on negotiating with them. We have put on the table what we want to be put in place so that we can have a pro-growth, pro-job creation budget. I think the ANC was at a point today where 3 weeks ago they would have put that on the table. And just to show face and to try to show their supporters that they did not buckle to pressure, they now went through with a 0.5% now and a second VAT increase in a year's time from now. And that is the ANC's proposal. So we will still be willing to negotiate. And this whole parliamentary process that will now start, where the committees are going to deliberate this and where Parliament eventually will vote on this, will show the ANC that they will not get a 50% majority on this. And it is very important that the ANC must now realize that they are a 39% party. They've got 39% of the representatives in the National Assembly. And even if they get the support of all the smaller parties, they will still not get to the 50%. So they need to come to the negotiating table and listen. They are not used to not governing alone, but they've got to get used to that very quickly.
There was a commitment to government efficiency. You've been speaking about this a lot as a DA, saying one of the things you want to see is government being more efficient with what it has. What's your sense of how this particular budget that was tabled looks to you, apart from the VAT element? Does it look efficient to you?
No, it does not. From the Democratic Alliance side, we've said all along that South Africa does not have an income problem. Mm. We've got an expenditure problem. And the proposals that we made to the ANC was to cut expenditure on a lot of places where we are wasting our money. Mm-hmm. And that did not come through in this budget speech of the minister. If you look at the places where we can cut costs to immediately save South Africans a lot of money, we can cut 50% in government advertising budgets. Mm-hmm. We can cut 33% on travel and catering expenditure across all departments. Mm-hmm. We can have a hiring freeze for all non-essential government positions for at least 12 months. We must have a audit of ghost employees. Mm-hmm. To give you an example, PRASA had an audit where it was uncovered that approximately 10% of PRASA's workforce did not exist. They were ghost employees. So the DA came in and said that we need to do a total spending review and we must look at how we can cut costs.
So just on that one, Mr. Oorkamp, the issue of ghost workers and that element of the budget and the proposal being that it will now be monitored within the presidency, I don't know. How do you feel about that? Do you think that will somehow improve this problem of ghost workers being paid by the state?
Each department must actually start to do we call it a zero-based budget, where you take your department and you start with the most basic of your cost and go and check and draft your own internal budgets and make sure that every single cent that you spend is spent in the right place and that it is a valid spending. What we've got at the moment is we don't have budgets that's been worked out. We've got years and years of budgets, and every year we just add on a percentage to that. Where if those budgets are going to be formed from a zero base, where you begin at zero and you start and you compile that, that will help a lot.
And so my issue about it taken to the presidency for monitoring and, you know, just, I guess, for, and I don't even know if that's going to work, because will those people actually have the powers to do anything?
Again, it's a centralization.
Yeah.
It should be decentralized. Every single department, every single ministry should take the responsibility of doing that instead of putting it under planning, monitoring and evaluation inside the presidency. Why would you want one minister to oversee such a lot of departments when it comes to that, where you can have each minister in his own or her own department overlooking that? It doesn't make sense, does it?
The lowering cost of living, you've been also adamant about that, that the cost of living needs to come down. And of course, the issue of budget of the VAT is part of that. But again, you know, did you think it spoke to that lowering of the cost of living for the people of South Africa?
No, it did not. It raised taxes. Mm. This VAT increase and the one that will come into effect next year as well. And sorry, I'm interrupting myself, but the listeners must realize this is not a once-off VAT increase. It's a double VAT increase, one now and one next year. This ANC VAT increase is going to take food off the table of the poorest of the poor. A VAT increase is not paid by your income. You pay it over as you spend your money. And the poorest of the poor must buy food, they must buy clothing. When the winter comes, they must buy blankets and warm themselves. And they are going to pay more for that than they are paying now. So this is not a pro-poor budget. It is also not a pro-growth budget. And to come back to your question, mm-hmm. what needs to be done is we've got to have a budget that will allow for growth to take place. The Democratic Alliance has put clear measures on the table that we can move from this 0.6% growth to a 3%, 4% growth rate where we create jobs. People don't want to receive grants for the rest of their lives. They want to have a job. They want to be able to earn a good living. And unfortunately, this budget with increased taxes that will affect especially the poorest of the poor does not tick the box of assisting the people of this country.
The infrastructure spend, do you think that will affect economic growth at all? He spoke a lot about transport logistics being improved. Do you think that will move that needle further to growing this economy or not really?
It will definitely assist. What we need to do now is to stop talking about getting the private sector involved, but actually implementing that. The Democratic Alliance has said from day one that private sector involvement in something like the harbors yeah. and our rail network, the Transnet can't save itself. Mm. They need assistance. So if we are going to spend on our infrastructure, again, it must be spent correctly, and there must be a plan to make it work. If we can increase our harbor capacity and our Transnet capacity, the farmers and the production people in this country can up their performance and up their production, which will in turn create jobs, which will in turn alleviate poverty, make less people dependent on grants. It is a snowball effect at this current moment that is negative, but we can have it as a cloud effect where the one positive can lead to another one, and at the end we will all have a nice rainy day when our crops are in the field.
Any other positives for you?
Yeah, we are glad that the SRD grants was increased a little bit. Mm-hmm. We believe that the SRD grants should be turned around in a job-enhancing type of mechanism. We are very glad that there was money, I think it was $3 billion, that was set aside for SARS. The Commissioner of SARS, Edward Kiesvetter, said earlier this week that if SARS can get $3 billion, which they now got, they will be able to increase their capacity and success rate that is currently at 63%. They will be able to increase that to 67%. And that 4% that they will be able to up the efficiency will enable them to collect between 60 and 80 billion rand annually. Now, if you only look at that 60 to 80 billion rand that SARS can collect more under current legislation without any tax increases is more than this VAT of the ANC is going to bring in. So it was definitely not necessary for this. I firmly believe that the ANC only did this to try and show their dwindling support base that they are still in power. The ANC is not in power alone anymore. And the sooner they realize that and act accordingly, the better for everybody in this country.
Very welcome. Thank you so much for your time. He's a DA spokesperson. Their reaction to the budget. We continue to take more of the people's reaction as well. 086-000-0959. You can send those voice notes on 063-688-0959. I'll go to Action SA MP now, member of SCOPA as well, Ellen Beasley, on the line with us. So thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Yes, good evening and good evening to your listeners.
And how do you feel about this particular budget that's been tabled by the finance minister?
Now, we think it's extremely disappointing, I think, in two aspects. I think, first of all, in terms of the increase in taxes, both in terms of VAT and the pays you earn through the increase in going higher tax brackets. So, and our concern is that, you know, I sit on the scope, I sit on the finance committee, I sit on the auditor general, and there's just so much wastage and incompetence and corruption in the system that we're just saying it's morally not right for South Africans to have to pay more tax when we got so much wastage in the system. And the challenge that we find is we're saying that a fish rots from their head. And in our South African situation, the cabinet is so bloated. There's 75 members of parliament, being members of the cabinet, and they've got to live a luxury lifestyle, they live an opulent lifestyle, and it just, I mean, I was chatting today, one minister spent one night in our hotel and paid $198,000. Mm. So we're just saying from a tax increase perspective, it's unacceptable. We won't support it. Mm-hmm. And then the other big concern of ours is just the lack of detail about economic growth. There was a lot of talk, but no pragmatic, bold initiatives to get economic growth going. You know, we're suffering from unemployment, poverty and inequality crisis in our country. And unless we get economic growth going, you know, people are going to remain jobless, and for us, that's a big factor.
For Action SA, what needs to be done for this economic growth?
So for us, we're saying there needs to be bold, pragmatic, decisions. It's pointless talking about it, and there's a couple of things that we've suggested. The first thing that we're saying is we need to really have a relook at BBBE and seeing if it's working. You know, we fully endorse that our country needs to transform, but our concern is that there's a few ANC people who are benefiting from the BBBE, and it's actually disadvantaging the majority of South Africans who stay trapped in unemployment poverty. So that's one thing we're saying that we need to look at. That's a very important sector. And another thing is the red tape in the business environment. It's so difficult to operate a business at the moment. There's more hurdles that are put in the way of a businessman today than years ago. You know, we ranked 98th in the world in terms of bureaucracy. So we need to free up. We need to make it easier for businesses. And we need to make sure that business people, SMEs, can get access to finance. And we think that's a proper way for BBE to happen. It's a businessman to get access to finance and allow them to do what they do best.
So let's go back to the BBBE issue and just maybe elaborate a little bit on how it will, or at least currently, is stopping growth of the economy.
Yeah, so what happens is it's only benefiting a few. We call it ANCEE, and it's only benefiting a few. And because it's benefiting a few, there's a whole amount of corruption and price manipulation and tenders involved in it. So instead of paying 10 rand for a pen, you might actually be paying 100 rand for it. So if you go to the hospital, instead of paying 10 rand for medicine, you're paying 100 rand. So you're actually depriving people of the actual basic services because you're paying for more for product that's going out the system through corruption and leakages and wastage. So we've actually, as Action SA, we proposed something quite different called an opportunity fund, where transformation will happen from the roots up as opposed to from a top-down approach.
Okay, and how would you implement that? Where you say it's from the root up rather than the top down?
So we've worked out that it's costing businesses at the moment to comply with BBBE is about 5-6%. So we're saying that companies must pay extra 5-6% tax, and that money will be used to fund SMEs, to fund skills development, and all that type of stuff, where people can get equipped with the skills, get equipped with the capital. Because at the moment, if you don't have access to funding, it's very difficult for you to actually get involved into the business sector. So that's where we're finding it. The richest of the richest continue to get richer and richer, whereas the poor who don't have access to capital keep on being marginalized. We're saying this opportunity fund, and that's why we call it an opportunity fund, will give people the opportunity to grow and develop themselves.
Okay. And this would be a corporate tax or more of the individual tax?
No, it'll be a corporate tax because at the moment it's costing, we've done the sums and it's about 5-6% companies are paying to comply with BEE. You know, there's a whole lot of regulations, a whole lot of costs involved with it. So we're saying for 30 years, we're going to tax companies an extra few percentage and that will go to the opportunity fund and that's going to provide proper transformation and changes in our country.
Lots of other people have been saying that, you know, the increase of corporate tax will get businesses to sort of pull back and maybe spend their money elsewhere. You don't fear that 6% corporate tax increase? You don't fear that that's going to, you know, sort of dissuade corporates to stop investing in South Africa?
No, not at all, because what we're saying at the moment is it's costing companies already to comply to BBBE. So there's a tax paid at the moment one's actually taking to comply. There's about 6-7 things on the scorecard that one actually has to meet. And there's a huge cost of having to do that. So we're just saying for the next 30 years, instead of businesses paying that cost, businesses will pay this money across into the opportunity fund. And we and everybody in South Africa, we actually want transformation to happen. It's imperative. It needs to happen. But we think at the moment it's not happening and we have to look at things in a different light.
What else did you feel was positive in this budget?
So very exciting for us is the increase of funding to SARS. You know, when we joined Parliament in the beginning of the 7th Parliament, is the very first issue that Action SA raised is the underfunding of SARS. And we call it nonsensical, bizarre. We couldn't understand why. And it's an issue that we've driven so, so hard in Parliament. And, you know, I've written numerous letters to the Minister of Finance. And he actually came up to me today before the actual speech started. And he said, Alan, I've got good news for you today. And it really is. It's a victory for Action SA, but more importantly, it's a victory for the people of South Africa, because so many of us pay our taxes. And the thing is, the poorest of the poor pay their taxes because they pay VAT, they pay all these other, but the richest people, the political elites, the criminal syndicates, the corrupt, they don't pay tax. So giving money to SARS is going to enable them to go after these people and can make a huge, huge difference.
You know, one of the things that your mayor in Tshwane, Action SA's mayor in Tshwane, has been dealing a lot with water issues. It's come back to the table. How do you feel about that?
Now, water, it's a massive, massive, massive issue. It really is, you know, and it's having a huge impact on business and business confidence. I was chatting to a business who operates in Johannesburg. They used to run 24 hours. Now they can only run 12 hours because of the lack of water. Mm. And the people are having to go into short time. And so there's huge consequences to this. So it's fundamental that we get the water right. It looks like we're getting on top of the electricity challenges. I mean, whenever we say that, we hit load shedding again. But I've got huge respect for the chairperson and the CEO of Eskom and the current Minister of Electricity there. But they're trying to turn a ship around, and I think they're doing good, and we need to acknowledge that and recognize that. But we need the same to happen with water.
I appreciate your time. Action SA's MP and member of SCOPA, Alan Beasley there. We'll continue with more reaction from Labour. We'll talk to other political parties as well. A good time to also have your say on the budget that was tabled this afternoon by the Finance Minister, 086-000-0959. Voice notes on 063-688-0959. Have you digested all of this? You know how this is going to go, right? So for every item that you're going to buy from as soon as they adopt the budget, if this goes through, you will have to pay a 0.5% extra on all the items, all food items, everything, absolutely everything. So how do you feel about that? Because I think we need to bring it back home to you and I and our daily lives. 086-000-0959. And then it'll be increased again the following year. You can send those voice notes to 063-688-0959. Zolinzi Mavavi is Saftu General Secretary on the line with us this evening. Mr. Vavi, good evening and welcome. And how do you feel about the budget that was tabled this afternoon?
Well, the only conclusion we can make, Pimelo, is that we live in different worlds. The cabinet and the government clearly lives in a different planet to the one that we live in. where we live in is a country in a polycrisis. It's a country where the majority are being impoverished, where unemployment is beating all records at 42% now, where black people remain the face of that unemployment, and poverty at 62% if you use the measure of the upper bound level of poverty. With a country that has become the most unequal society, with crime levels that have robbed us even any chance of jogging and walking alone at night, and or not even being safe in your own house. We live in a country where the education is dysfunctional and sidelining 40 to sometimes even 52% of the kids who start grade R before they reach grade 12. We live in a country where the health system is dysfunctional in the wake of 40,000 vacancies, with the where we're falling behind the World Health Organization in terms of the ratios between the nurses, the doctors, and the rest of the population. Same with the police that are robbed of resources. And we live in a society where we are told to wait for the vans when we fall from the rural areas, and that phones are not functional. And we live in a world where corruption is dropping up to 40% of the procurement budget. That's our reality, Johannesburg, and many cities that are now competing with our townships and rural areas of being uninhabitable. And there's running feces in the streets, and in town, in the townships, and in the informal settlements. And that's where we live. These guys clearly live from some ivory tower somewhere else, where the rich cannot be touched, where the poor must be made to poor. I'm sorry, must be made to fund the crisis that have been created by themselves and the capitalist system.
You have been calling to an end, for an end to austerity measures. There's a little bit of money that's going to go into filling those vacancies. You spoke of 40,000 vacancies in the health sector, as for an instance. There'll be a bit of money to fill some, not all of those, some of those vacancies, some of the education vacancies as well. Is that going to be enough?
Not at all. You must remember, this is in the context where government remains committed to send 30,000 public sector workers into early retirement. And it has already, including in this budget, putting aside 11 billion rands to entice workers to take early retirement packages. It does this in the context of municipalities that are dysfunctional, that can't pay workers, and it does this in the context where it have to retrench 2,000 plus teachers in the Western Cape, 4,000 in the KwaZulu-Natal, where even Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga and Limpopo province are forced to cut back on the scholar transport system, cut back on the food provision in the schools, and there's a social crisis. We are marching towards a failing, if not a failed revolution, a failed state. We shouldn't be embarking on austerity programs. Worst of all, Pimelo, when so many people in this come around, were saying to government, please don't punish the poor any further, and look at the other alternatives for your crisis. If you say you're facing a crisis, these corporate taxes that were sitting at 52% in 1992, you drop them to 27%. At least take them back to 32%, and through that you'll generate a 60 billion rands. look at the possibility of introducing the wealth tax on the richest 1% of the population. And just that 1% will give you a 50 million that you can raise immediately, and rising to a 35 billion range. The financial transaction tax, we said, at least a 0.1% tax on the financial traders, the stock, the stocks, the derivatives, the forex, can generate at 80 billion rands, a crackdown on illicit cash outflows, which are now estimated to be above a trillion rands, a crackdown on the tax dodging schemes that are estimated by the tax commission led by Judge Dennis Davis to be at 60 billion rands. You can solve the problems. Introduce a tax on the luxury goods, and these guys will bring in the top of a range, foreign cars, the best jets, designer goods, designer suits. You can get a 15 billion rands out of that. End corruption in the procurement, and end tender fraud. Clean the public sector and save 40 billion rands immediately. And so we've calculated that we can, through those measures, raise a 365 billion rands annually, eight times more than what the VAT will give to the government. No, the government won't look at this direction. It must look at the direction of the most vulnerable in society, which is the poor. Shame on them.
The money that will be spent on improving, you know, transportation, the rail system, you know, do you think that's going to go towards assisting the poor, or too little too late? What's your thought on that?
That would be good. We want to see the results. The only thing that makes us worried is this overemphasis on the public-private partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
We see that as doing one thing. If you look at the independent power producers contract, that remains top secret. The government will never, ever put those into the public space, because it knows that there will be such an outcry that government is now de-risking private sector investment and guaranteeing profits to the people who are supposed to be operating in a free market, where the name of the game is supposed to be taking risks and investing in order to gain a profit down the line. No, in South Africa, and by the way, all over the world, the corporates have become so powerful that the blackmail government, in the name of creating the conducive environment for investment to enter into these public-private partnerships and to de-risk their own private sector investment, so that they can guarantee themselves of 40 years of profit. The phenomenon of these independent power producers is not just isolated to South Africa. This is what is happening in bigger parts of the world today. As we have said, this basically makes the poor to be the one that funds the private sector investment. That's what we are doing to in Eskom. We're giving these guys 20 billion rands every year. And then Eskom go to NERSA to say, give us a 36% increase. And of course, NERSA feels blackmail. These guys can use the ticket of a more load shedding, and it gives them a 12% plus increase at a time when increasingly we cannot afford electricity. Many working class communities can no longer afford to switch on their kettles to boil water. They cannot use their geysers. They are going back to fetch wood in the forest, which means that the standards of living are being attacked. We are going back to where we were during colonial and apartheid era. So it's a very, very sad situation. So yes, we want government to focus on ensuring that Transnet operates effectively and efficiently. How we wish that they would not bring in these bloodthirsty private sector guys who will want to tie government into guaranteeing their profits for making investments.
So, Lindsay Mafavi, thank you so much for making time for us this evening. SAFTU General Secretary, as we go straight to your calls, 086-000-0959. Voice notes on 063-688-0959. Dr. Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. How are you?
I'm okay. And Dr. Selby, your thoughts on the budget?
Pamela, wabona njena VAT increase it's only matter, Pamela. 130 years of feeling yona as old age. I got to receive it, Pamela. Kilo jua kiona VAT increase. Now, wabona Pamela, it's a problem. Kuba honka the business people who live in Parliament because. Baba lehela corporate tax. Is that like mutwa ona undertaker a stop ba tsore ba skasho?
Yeah. No, Rautlan and Tata Selby, I really appreciate you giving us your thoughts as well. And I mean, keep them coming. 086-000-0959. We'd really love to hear from you. So what do you make of this current budget that was tabled by the finance minister? I'll take a quick break and I'll be back with the MK party.
Voice note Pimelo Mutine on WhatsApp
063-688-0959.
Point of view.
Keep connected with us.
Kaya 959.
On the street.
On the air.
The budget is not reflective of what it's needed on the ground. You know, we can talk of the increases like Sbabu Spopi Band and all those things, but what remains is that we need a budget that's able to open up the economy and follow along with policies, because we prioritize a situation where, you know, government feeds us as a nation instead of prioritizing a situation where we citizens help the government deliver services. So by that I mean the budget should be, you know, concentrate well off in the economy, making sure that, you know, there's funding for small and big companies, there's incentives for big companies to invest and be able to, you know, quadruple their workforce and all those things. So even if we can fix Transnet, but if we are not having a country with policies that are pro-growth, you know, Transnet will still not be as effective as we want it to be. But either way, we must live with it. However, my challenge is that our government sees us born into poverty and die into poverty. We can't have that. And the speech reflects that our government sees us being born from poverty and dying from poverty.
We'll continue to have those reactions from you, 086-000-0959. I want to go to the MK Party's chief whip, Mzwanele Nyimanyi. We spoke, Mr. Manyi, the other day, and you said instead you want cuts on the VAT. We're here now. How do you feel about this particular budget that was tabled?
Hi there, Pimelo, and good evening to your listeners.
Good evening.
No, I actually feel sorry for the NC. They're completely run out of ideas. You know, there are so much simple things that are on the table that they could do, but instead they decide to impoverish people. I mean, even their strategic approach to the whole thing is just totally messed up. What one would have expected the ANC would do as a starting point is to look at what are the challenges facing the country. One of our biggest challenges is unemployment. You would then think that if there is fiscal ready to be spent, the very first thing that they would look at is to say, what is it that you can do to create more jobs, as it were? We're sitting here with the issue of highest inequality in the land. We're number one in the world in terms of inequality. We are leading in terms of poverty and all that. Then you would say, the government should then say, what is it that you can do to end poverty? Instead, what they do, they prolong poverty. They keep people in these grants. They do nothing to take people out of misery so that people can get their own dignity and work for themselves. There's no plan to do that. The plan is just to maintain the voting pool, if you like, so that people are continuously dependent on them. It's really a problem. It's also a problem, the fact that, you know, it's almost like there's no commitment to be truthful to the nation. You see, this thing of saying it's 0.5%, mm-hmm. 0.5 percentage point, and so on. It's very important that you must understand the mathematics around this. When you say 0.5 percentage point, it might look like it's some negligible amount. But when you compute it as a ratio of that 15% VAT, what you're actually looking at is actually 3.3% effective interest that you're looking at. So over the two-year period, you're looking at it around figure of 7% effective rate. That's what you're looking at. So this government is continuously impoverishing people. It's really very sad to say, comrades, what's wrong with you? Don't you see that you are going the wrong way? So for us as the MK party, we reject this budget, but we want to call the ANC to a small room and maybe help them, because we think we've got human capacity in the MK party. We have all people there that know what needs to happen, qualified people, experienced people, and all of that. And I think in the ANC, shame, it's a brain drain. Everybody is now with MK party. So we're saying to them, we are happy to assist them, because this is beyond politics. We're persisting the nation.
So what you're saying is you are open to discussions to convince one another, and maybe when the time comes for all of you to table this in Parliament and pass it, you would have been on the same page.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows if they are open to that, because we are saying let's work for the interests of the people of South Africa. That's what we're looking for. What is the best solution? And we think we can assist them, because they are completely devoid of ideas. We have ideas, and we have models. We have something that works. Trust me, we have something that works. The day we table with the debates, you will see that when we're talking about the MK party, beyond the stuff I spoke to you about a few days ago, about more than that, we've got much more tangible, something, not just some theory that must develop, something that you do that can leverage, I mean, at a short term, and when I say short term, in a month, we can change. So we've got solutions that can change whatever they presented here. We'll give them a wow. We are ready as MK Party to assist them.
Well, looking forward to that budget debate. Thank you very much for your time. MK Party Chief Whip, Mzwanele Manyi.
On Kaya 959
with Pimelo Modine.
What's yours? What's yours?
I was listening into the representative from the DA breaking down some of the government spending, fictitious employees. I mean, that's a lot of money. We kind of want to move over or scoot over the budget and where the real inefficiencies are. But if there is corruption and fraud that's leading to those type of issues, we have a duty to find those inefficiencies. If there are salaries that are going to people that don't exist, we have to find those inefficiencies before we punish not just the poor, but just the general citizens within the country. Whenever there's a problem in South Africa, the first people that are taxed or the revenue is found from are the citizens of South Africa, and that's a form of scapegoating. They have to find the real issue, or the monster just continues to grow, and the monster just continues to take. We can't, as uncomfortable as it is, we can't scoot away from the issue. If there is corruption and there are expenses that are fictitious that are being paid, we have a duty to find that, no matter whose feathers it's going to rattle.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.